here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars, and, of course, we'll talk about that today. And you can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. And, by the way, thank you and welcome to our new sponsor, PM Expo, or Property
Yay.
Managers Expo. Thank you, guys. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which aren't. That's a new feature to the website this week, and we're going to talk about that a lot on the show today. And, of course, you can automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our own discussions about the show, or start your own discussion and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, that's 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, on our last show, we spoke about how Eric got even with his father-in-law by recommending that he moves into an HOA that Glazer & Associates represents. And he calls us long distance.
That was great.
How South Florida cities are among the most dangerous in the country to walk around, how associations can now opt out of fire sprinklers, and how it may no longer be the American dream to own a home. Then last week we had a well-deserved break, but Eric, I understand that apparently you did more than just take a quick vacation.
Karen, we've been working pretty hard. I guess that's why I'm sick, actually, but we've really been working pretty hard since our last show to stand up for the rights of everyone in Florida that lives in a community association, and that's whether or not you are on the board. And as our listeners know, I've been pretty critical of the Florida legislators' absolute and total failure to pass really any meaningful laws that are designed to help anyone that lives in community associations, despite the fact that tens of thousands of homes and condo units are in foreclosure and we're in the worst housing crisis in the history of the state, and despite the fact that owners who do pay their assessments and live in community associations are beginning to lose their homes because they simply can't keep up with the constant increases in assessments and special assessments that are necessary to cover all the units that aren't paying because they're in foreclosure. And as I've said before, despite some very intelligent people in the Florida legislature, the best they were able to come up with to help the million-plus homeowners who live in community associations in this state is, well, let's see, we won't let you use the pool or the gym if you're delinquent. That's basically it. That's what they've given you in a nutshell. And seminar after seminar that we teach, both board members and community association managers tell us that these measures haven't helped at all.
Well, how do you get them out of the pool?
Well, yeah. Right by the hair.
You know, right? Well, you know, Eric, it's like you always said. If you asked a bunch of third graders what to do about delinquency problems in Florida community associations, the answer would probably be to stop them from using the pool.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, really, you know, that show, Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? Respectfully, I don't think the Florida legislature has done much more than that. Well, this time next year is a real important election season. You know, and I'm very glad the timing of this show actually couldn't be better with all the debt crisis issue going on in Washington and everybody real hyped up over politics this particular weekend. This is a great time to have this show because, again, this time next year is a real important election season.
Mm.
You know, stay informed, stay up to date, and stay angry. It's absolutely time for owners all across this state to know which legislators are in their corner and have their back and which don't. It is absolutely time to finally stop thinking about yourselves, quite frankly, in terms of Democrats or Republicans or independents, And instead, our listeners really need to start thinking that you're all part of the same party and that you are all commonly behind the same goal of keeping your homes and making the concept of community association living fair for everyone. Consider yourselves all members of the same camp or community association members party. Think of it that way and start voting as a group. If all the owners out there thought of themselves as being in the same camp that live in community associations and you were united, you would instantly become the single most powerful voting bloc in this entire state, hands down. And instead, up until now, the legislation that has been passed really by the Florida legislature has been designed to divide and conquer all of you and really pit owner against owner. Don't fall for it, because in unity there is strength. So I sat down and I wrote a detailed letter 2 weeks ago to every single member of the Florida House of Representatives and every single member of the Florida Senate, demanding that during the next legislative session, certain changes to the laws must get made. And I concentrated on not only what I believe to be the issues killing associations after having the honor of representing associations for the past 20 years, but I also had the help of Jan Bergman, who our listeners know as the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, who supports each and every one of these measures as well. So, again, here we have me, an association attorney for 20 years, and Jan Bergman, the president of Florida's single largest organization that hears thousands of complaints from condo owners and non-board members every year. And here we are both agreeing on what legislation is desperately needed for Florida community associations. And quite frankly, that is real bipartisan support, whether you are pro board of directors or pro unit owner. Now, I outlined those changes and I asked each of our legislators for a commitment one way or the other as to whether or not they will support these six simple measures. I informed each of them that after 30 days, I'm going to report their results on the answers to all these questions on the show, and I'm going to put their answers on the show's website.
And what do we do about any legislators that simply ignore the letter?
Well, I got to tell you, if a legislator ignores the letter, then shame on them for being so cowardly, quite frankly. I think all of our listeners would have no problem with a legislator taking a well-thought-out position as to why any of our 6 points are wrong. But what our listeners can't tolerate and should never tolerate is the total failure to respond by any legislator and simply ignore their concerns completely, because, again, that's cowardly. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about what those six proposed changes are. But first, I just want to take care of a quick housekeeping measure and tell our listeners actually some good news. We now have a date for the next Condo Craze Board Member Certification course at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood, and that date is Thursday, September 15th at 7 o'clock. Thank you to so many of you who've been sending emails to know when the next course is. Yeah, we've been getting them all along, but we took a little summer break. And if you want to register for the seminar, just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, that's condocrazeandhoas.com. And fill out the form. You'll get a confirmation email back from Brian, our office manager. And Scott, how about telling everybody what they can expect at the seminar?
Well, for those of you who have already taken the course, you know that it's both informative and fun. We cover topics like what every association now needs to know in light of the Cohn case, association budgets, mandatory financial reporting, fiduciary duties of board members, arbitration, mediation, and all the laws that have been passed over the last few years. There's lots of coffee and cake and endless questions from our audience. It's really a lot of fun.
Well, again, just to remind everyone, as of July 1st, the law now provides that you can become certified 1 year before getting elected to the board or within 3 months of actually getting elected to the board. So there's a school of thought that says if you're thinking about running for the board in your upcoming election, why not take the course now and get certified? And you can promote the fact that you are already certified when you decide to run for the board. How about before we go to a commercial, we take our first call?
Yeah.
How about Susan from Pompano?
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I just want to tell you I just love your show.
Thank you very much.
I was at my pool yesterday, and people were talking about a neighbor that short-sailed her condo. The bank picked up the difference of $70,000 and paid the HOA fees of $12,000. I guess I'm confused. I thought the banks are in business to make money. Why would they do this?
Well, sometimes, again, the bank will allow a short sale to go through. And actually, if we have time, we're going to talk about this on today's show. They're allowing it to go through because if they go and take back title to the property, they're going to wind up, A, taking a loss on the mortgage. They're going to have to resell it, list it with a broker, pay a 6% commission. They're going to have to pay the real estate taxes during the time period that they own it. They're going to have to pay the assessments during the time period that they own it. They're going to have to pay the insurance during the time period that they own it. So maybe take the loss up front and, you know, let the sale go through so that this is one less property that's actually sitting on their hands and on their books.
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Sure. Well, sometimes we make sense here on the show. What do you know? Thanks, Susan, and thanks for your comments about the show.
Thank you so much. I hope you feel better.
Thanks again. All right, how about we go to John? Look at us all the way from Jacksonville.
How are you, John? John, you there?
Johnny.
How about it, John? You there?
No. We lost John
from Jacksonville. All right, I guess John will call back. All right, let's take our first break then, and when we get back, I'm going to tell our listeners what changes I requested from our Florida legislators and why. We'll certainly read the letter. We'll remind you why you all need to start voting as a group and commit yourselves to vote only for those legislators who support this type of change. We'll tell you how you can get involved. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. And we'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, who's under the weather a little bit, and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, how about we go to John is back from Jacksonville. How are you, John?
Hello.
John, you there?
Not John from Jacksonville. John from Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, John from Fort Lauderdale. Okay. You moved. Okay.
No. Your wires got crossed.
Okay.
Anyway, I got to two questions. The first one is board meetings that are recorded on tape but not transcribed. What's the story there?
Whose tape is it?
Belongs to the board. They record the meetings.
Right. Okay. Whose tape is it? The question is that tape an official record? Well, I would say if that tape was purchased with condominium association funds, then yes, it's an official record of the association.
So they don't have to transcribe it.
Do they have to transcribe it? No, there's nothing in the statute that would require them to transcribe it. That's correct. They have to take minutes of the meeting. That they have to do, but they don't have to actually transcribe word for word what's on their tape.
No, just a minute. You say they have to take minutes.
Yeah, typically, while a meeting is going on, never mind the fact that the meeting's being recorded, but typically the secretary is taking minutes of the meeting. She's writing down, you know, what's going on at the meeting, who's voting for what, who's making what motions, what the residents have to say on what issues. And those become the minutes of the meeting, and they're typically voted on at the next meeting and approved by the board of directors.
So, all right, so the question is, what has to be in written form? Just the votes have to be in written form?
Again, what typically has to be in written form is when people get up to speak, typically what they say is written down or paraphrased. If a member of the board makes a motion, that is obviously written down. The votes, if that motion's seconded, that's written down. The votes of that motion is written down. Comments by the board is generally written down. Things of that nature. Just what you'd expect to be written down. And that constitutes the official minutes. Okay?
Second, I have another question. Can I ask that?
Sure.
Parking, okay? I was asked to do a detail of who's in what spot kind of thing. And what happened was they changed the numbering system. Now, some people claim that they have in their deeds the spot number recorded. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. Some associations, the deed spots are actually deeded to you, while in other associations, no, they're just common elements, and the board gets to decide who uses them.
Okay, and if they are not deeded, then the board can change them at will?
Generally, no, not necessarily. That spot, again, depending upon what your documents say, once it's assigned to a particular unit, some documents say that spot becomes a limited common element pertinent to that unit, period. So it stays with that unit. It's not owned by the unit owner, but it becomes a limited common element. And the only way to know that for sure is to take a look at your governing documents.
Okay.
So I can't give you an intelligent answer unless and until I see what your documents say. Okay?
Fair enough.
Okay, thanks for the call, John.
Thank you.
All right, what I really want to do is I want to get going and start talking about what we've been concentrating over the last 2 weeks, and that again is our complaints to our legislators. But before we actually get to the letter, if any of our listeners actually want to read along and actually see the actual letter that
yes.
we wrote and a list of all of the members of the House of Representatives and the Florida Senate and have all their emails and contact information and see if any of them support these six measures or not, all of this is on the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. You can follow along with all of this. Now, you know, tell you the truth, I don't think it's a secret that I'm a Republican based on some of the comments I make now and then on the show.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding, huh? That's a shocker. But let me give you guys an example of really, truly an intelligent response from one of the Democratic legislators we wrote to, and that is Representative John Julian from District 104, which encompasses part of North Miami and North Miami Beach. When Representative Julian received the letter the other day, his office immediately got in touch with me and said that before he throws his support behind these suggestions, he'd just like to learn more about them and get some input from actual residents of the associations
wow.
in his community. You know, and he instantly accepted. So, you know, I invited him to the Condocrace seminar on September 15th, and he said, sure, I'd love to go. So here's a guy that admits he needs to learn more and he's willing to attend the course on September 15th and speak to all of you. And for that alone, he should be commended. And I really look forward to meeting him at the seminar again on September 15th. And I'd love to see if any of our other local legislators will follow Representative Julian's lead. We invite you to take a seat at the Condo Craze Board Certification Seminar. How about getting certified yourself if you're not familiar with the problem of foreclosures and why associations are failing in your community? Well, then get educated. Become
right.
involved. Learn something, you know. We're here for you. Do exactly what Representative Julian is suggesting.
Yeah.
Go take a 3-hour course and find out just how badly your constituents are suffering. You know, none of you are too good to sit for 3 hours and learn what's actually going on in your community.
Well, obviously, with all the debt talk in Washington right now, all of us are kind of sitting back and feeling a little helpless as we watch the country possibly spiral toward a little economic disaster. But here, regarding these association law issues, we're definitely not powerless. If we're smart and start thinking as a united group of condo and HOA members, there's no question that we can bring about significant change during the next legislative session if we all agree to vote for only those legislators who are willing to support and help us, you know, the people.
Absolutely. Great point, Scott. We absolutely, guys, you have to absolutely stick together. Stop thinking of yourself in this situation as Republican, Democrat, or Independent. Think of all of you as homeowners. And all right, now let's go on with the letter. And the letter starts out, dear legislator, I'm currently entering my 20th year as a Florida lawyer practicing Florida Community Association law, and for the past 2 years have had the pleasure of being a host of Condo Craze and HOAs, a weekly one-hour radio show on 850 WFTL. Furthermore, I was the first attorney in the state of Florida that designed a course that certifies condominium residents as eligible to serve on a condominium board of directors. I've now certified over 1,300 Floridians. Moreover, I'm certified as a circuit court mediator by the Florida Supreme Court and have mediated dozens of disputes between associations and unit owners. Finally, I recently argued the Cone versus Grand condominium case before the Florida Supreme Court, which is perhaps the single most important association law case decided by the court in a decade. You got to admit, boy, so far I sound like a big shot, don't I?
Yeah, in your own mind.
Great curriculum vitae. Yeah, right. No, he is. I'm
all
impressed.
Right, okay. As a result of deficiencies in Florida Statute 718 and 720, owners of homes located in condominiums and homeowner associations have suffered financial losses in their communities that far exceed homeowners who do not live in community associations. The foreclosure crisis has allowed for tens of thousands of condominium units and homes not paying their mandatory monthly assessments, thus forcing the paying owners to pay even more each month to make up for the shortfall. There are a few simple solutions that the Florida legislature can take to help the over 1 million Florida residents that live in a Florida community association. They are the following. Let's just take the first one.
All right.
Increase the current statutory cap from 1% to 2% of the original mortgage debt that a bank is required to pay once a bank forecloses on a unit and obtains title. Last year, the Florida legislature raised the bank's limit from the lesser of 6 months of unpaid assessments, or 1% of the original amount of the mortgage, to the lesser of 12 months of unpaid assessments, or 1% of the mortgage, as you all know. This did not put an extra penny, not one penny, into the coffers of Florida community associations because that 1% cap remained in place. This cap needs to be raised to 2%, and it needs to be done so immediately.
But aren't the banks going to say that this is simply too much of a financial burden on them?
Absolutely. The banks are definitely going to say that this is a financial burden on them, but it is simply not true, not even close, because even if the Florida legislature passed that law today, it wouldn't apply to mortgages that banks have already given. Mm. Again, let me make that clear. It wouldn't apply to mortgages that the banks have already given. It would only apply to new mortgages. So the banks have plenty of time to come up with an in-house solution to make sure they don't suffer financially if the cap is raised from 1% to 2%. You know, maybe they charge a new borrower a quarter of a point for a condo loan, or heaven forbid they require a borrower to escrow a year of assessments in advance, just like they do with real estate taxes. But again, this will not cost the banks an extra penny because the cost and the risk will simply be passed on to the borrower.
But Eric, what about a critic who would say that maybe because this extra cost is now being passed on to the borrower, some borrowers simply won't be able to qualify for a loan, and that the prices of condo units and homes in an HOA will fall even further?
Yeah, good question. Hey, if that extra quarter of a point disqualifies someone from getting a mortgage, good. I'm all in favor of it. Tens of thousands of people who've received mortgages over the last 7 years or so obviously couldn't afford it, and they got mortgages anyway, and we all know what happened because of that. Tightening the criteria is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. This is actually a fiscally conservative measure that should be supported by those in our Florida legislature that actually preach being financially and fiscally conservative.
We might need to renegotiate my salary.
Be quiet. Anyway, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I am Karen Curtis, here with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. Taking your phone calls, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Eric wrote a very important letter to all of our lawmakers, and we're getting into the letter as we speak.
Yeah, well, just before we went to the break, we were actually talking about making the bank pay 2% instead of 1% of the mortgage when they foreclose, and if that would actually make less people qualify for a condo loan. And, you know, I think as far as that and as for prices falling because less people may qualify for a loan, I think that's ridiculous. You know why prices fall in condos and HOAs? It's because people realize that if there's a foreclosure crisis in the community, their assessments are going to skyrocket to cover the shortfall from everybody else that isn't paying. You know, right now, buying into a community association is simply too risky because of all the foreclosure crisis that is going on. And if the cap was raised from 1% to 2%, at least an association knows that even if a home goes into foreclosure, the association at least gets 2% of the mortgage, which is double than what they're previously getting. You know, buying into a condo or HOA actually becomes far less risky and should actually make prices go up. How about that? It should
That's
actually
awesome.
Make prices go up, not down, because it would actually stabilize the financial structure of a condominium. So again, there's no effect on the banks whatsoever. It would actually tighten the ability to qualify for a condo loan. Again, that's a good thing, and I believe it would actually stabilize or increase prices of homes that are located in a community association. And by the way, because prices have fallen so dramatically over the past few years and basically are one half of what they were, the new mortgages that the banks are going to be giving will be about one half of what they used to be. So raising the cap from 1% to 2%, it really only keeps the banks on the hook for the same amount they were on the hook for when the mortgage were given in the first place, when they were twice as high. So the truth is, if you really want to go after the banks, I got no problem if you raise the cap to at least 3%, never mind 2%. 2% may actually be too low,
well,
but
slow
I'm willing
down
to
there,
at least
Glazer.
Start with that.
Slow down there. We're not even at 2 yet. Let's get there first.
Well, you know what? Then let's get to 2 and go from there. But let's move on to proposal number 2. All right, again, reading from the letter, proposal number 2. During the pendency of any foreclosure action by the association against the unit owner must place the condo assessments into the court registry as they come due. This is exactly what the current landlord-tenant statute allows for. Failure of that defendant to place the condo or HOA assessments into the court registry would allow the association to obtain a default against the unit owner. No big deal.
Yeah, I mean, come on. This is a no-brainer. Like you say, every single landlord in the state of Florida automatically has this protection because in any eviction action, the tenant must put the rent into the court registry each month. Why shouldn't condo associations and homeowner associations be entitled to the exact same protection as landlords?
No, there's no question about it, Scott. Of course they should. You know, right now, as all our listeners know, week in and week out, we talk about the fact that cases drag on for months and years, and the owners who live in these associations don't pay a dime in assessments to associations. And under this measure, they would be required to, or they have their case dismissed, and the association would be entitled to an immediate default. This will definitely help associations get paid because, you know, if I'm an attorney representing a unit owner, I advise my client to pay the association because while I may be able to keep the bank off of your back for the next 2 years, the same is not going to apply to the association.
So what's the downside to this bill?
There is no downside. That's the whole thing. There is really no downside to this bill. It's really a no-brainer, and it should have been passed years ago. Again, Florida landlords have been enjoying this type of protection here in Florida since, I believe, like the 1960s. Condo associations and homeowners simply deserve the same measure of protection that any Florida landlord would get. Again, it's a no-brainer.
And let me just say something. If this actual legislation was implemented, you know who it's going to hurt the most? Condo attorneys, because cases would go a lot quicker.
Absolutely.
We'd make less money. Glazer would make less money.
And maybe I'm not in favor of that.
Go I don't straight. Know.
No, we're in favor. We're in favor of it. Absolutely. 110%. It's really a no-brainer. You got to get these cases out of the court system. Why should a unit owner be able to drag cases on for months and years, all the while not paying the condo association one penny? Doesn't make sense. Again, Florida landlords get protection that the Florida condo associations and HOAs do not. And again, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, there's simply no reason why you can't line up in support of these measures. At election time, don't let the candidates divide you up. As homeowners, stay united and you'll definitely get the changes you want, or lots of incumbents will find themselves on the outside looking in or talking about your homes, for heaven's sakes. So please think about this and unite. All right, we got John from Palm Beach on the phone. John, you
there? Can you hear me okay?
How are you, John?
Yes. There was a lady just previous, about 15 minutes ago, was talking about the situation where the bank sold off the property and then paid off the HOA.
Yes.
And they just took the loss, the difference.
Yes.
Is the HOA, the association, not allowed to purchase the unit as an asset so they could sell it and put more money into their reserves or sell it to add money to their their reserves and all.
Typically, when you say
would they not have the opportunity to buy it?
To purchase it from the owner of the unit? Do they have a right
from
to
the bank?
Okay.
The bank foreclosure and all.
The
when they did that.
The bank took back the property. The bank owns it. And now the asking me, once the bank owns it, can the association buy it?
Yeah, because they paid the association off for the back dues, for the year's worth of back dues.
Right.
Which cleared the account. That was nice. But the association wanted to actually, they offered to buy the unit because what was against it for HOA was like maybe 20% of what it was worth wholesale even.
Well, if the HOA could have gotten it for a steal for a song, then yes, an HOA could in fact have bought the unit. Absolutely, they could have held on to it, and then they could have flipped it to make money on it. Yes, that probably would have been allowed under your governing documents. Occasionally that happens. Occasionally I'll find myself representing an association that actually does do that. Sometimes in the higher end communities too, they'll buy a really expensive unit, maybe at $100,000 or $200,000 less than what it might go for on the market, and then the association would in fact sell it. It's happened before, absolutely.
Well, the rest of the owners in the association, a few of us, we like myself personally, I would have paid three times the amount just
right.
in cash. To buy it, but I heard later that the association couldn't even buy it, so it was kind of an unusual situation, I guess.
Well, I take it the house is probably on the market, and you could have approached the bank to see, if they would have accepted your offer. But, John, we got to keep moving on because we're talking about some
important... Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. Like I said, talking about some important legislative proposals. So far, the first two, not too controversial, right?
No.
No big deal. Whether or not you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, you should be able to... unite behind the fact that the bank should actually pay a little more money, right? No big deal.
1 to 2%.
And putting assessments into the court registry as they come due. No big deal. This is what's in the best interest of associations around this state. But moving on to proposal number 3. Again, we'll keep reading from the letter. In addition to the financial problems plaguing our homeowner associations, they face additional burdens of having no government oversight, unlike condominiums, which are somewhat regulated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. As a result of non-regulation, homeowner associations, unlike condominium associations, have no ombudsman's office to report irregularities to, and no agency exists that has the authority to investigate wrongdoing in Florida associations, some who possess seven-figure annual budgets. Every single condominium resident in the state of Florida is annually assessed $4 per unit in order to pay for the cost of regulation by the DBPR. If every owner of a home in an HOA were assessed the same $4 annually, the DBPR would easily have a budget sufficient enough to also regulate homeowner associations. There is simply no justifiable basis whatsoever why condominiums are regulated and homeowner associations are not.
We get calls about this issue constantly on the show. Members that live in and own in HOAs are bewildered as to why they have absolutely no governmental agency to turn to for help with complaints, regulation, or education, and that condominiums get all this protection. Many members of HOA boards would love some help and guidance from the DBPR, but there simply isn't anyone who has authority to help them. And one Senator Fasano said, if there's just too many of them, we can't.
Yeah, didn't like that answer. That's exactly right. He said, there's just too many, so why regulate them? And I guess our thinking on the show is that's exactly why they need to be regulated, because there are so many of them. And certainly that's the sentiment of all of our listeners on the show. But, you know, interestingly enough, the Condominium Ombudsman's Office gets calls from HOA members all the time asking for help, and the office tries to assist, but they simply don't have the jurisdiction or the staff available to help.
Well, as we know, there's a strong feeling out there to cut spending and limit government. So it's easy creating another bureaucracy to now oversee HOAs. But the difference here is that the agency wouldn't cost the state one dime, because each owner of a home in an HOA would pay a lousy $4 per year, and the entire agency would be completely paid for. In fact, it would probably add money to the state's general fund, just like the $4 from every condo unit owner does.
Well, here's the bottom line.
Wow.
You know, there's simply no justification whatsoever that any Florida legislator could ever give me as to why condominiums are regulated by the DBPR, but HOAs are not. It's simply ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. There's no substantive difference between a condo and an HOA, which justifies, you know, this dramatic difference regarding regulation. It's also a consumer-friendly statute because, at least in terms of condos, the DBPR keeps a watchful eye on developers, while on the other hand, HOA developers have no regulation whatsoever, and I can promise a lot of our listeners learn that the hard way.
Did we just stumble upon why there might be no difference?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why give developers a hard time, right? Mm. But let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. And again, we're taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'd love to get your thoughts on some of the proposed legislation. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro. We're taking your calls as well at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Talking about a letter that Eric wrote to our lawmakers, and he's outlining the 6 proposals that he made.
Yeah, I think we're on number 5, right? Okay,
yeah.
Next proposal, again, keeping our homeowner friends in mind. Moreover, Florida Statute 720 allows HOAs to administer their annual elections solely according to the terms of their governing documents. The problem is that these governing documents normally require that a majority of the community appear at the annual meeting, and without same, there's no new election. Since a majority of owners normally don't appear at the annual meeting, this allows the same board members to remain on the board for years and sometimes decades on end, and prevents thousands of people who want to serve on these volunteer boards from serving. This year, legislation was pending which would have required homeowner associations to adopt the same voting procedures and eligibility requirements that condominiums use, as per Florida Statute 718.112, However, this provision never made it into the final bill, which was House Bill 1195. In Florida condominiums, all directors must run for election each year, and more importantly, the election is valid as long as 20% of the eligible voters cast votes in the condo election. The HOA statute should simply mirror the condo statute. This would prevent the disenfranchised feeling that literally thousands of residents around the state feel each year when their request to serve on an HOA board is denied simply because a majority of owners fail to attend the annual meeting. Again, just like in condos, an election should be valid as long as 20% of the eligible voters participate in the annual election.
So despite all the knocks against condominiums, it seems that at least in regards to their election procedures, they got it right and HOAs got it wrong.
There's really no question about it. We hear complaints on the show all the time from people who want to serve on their community board but can't get on because of the apathy in the community. Meanwhile, the HOA statute mirrored the condo statute, every year there would be meaningful elections in the community, and current board members would literally have to run for re-election each year instead of basically being, you know, abdicated to the throne with a lifetime of appointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is not an earth-shattering amendment to the HOA statute. Anything that brings more democracy into the election process and fairness should be supported by the Florida legislature. Now, I simply can't imagine not supporting this measure, regardless of what your policy affiliation is and why this was previously taken out of House Bill 1195. It really does not make sense. How about we take Mike from West Palm Beach?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, Mike?
Good. I can't understand, I own two homes, I can't understand how people live in gated communities or associations like that. It seems like you're living in a communist country. My friends live in one up in PGA, up that way. You can't do anything and this and that and the other. It's hard enough living in a regular home with the county or the code enforcement, but living in these gated communities is just crazy. You have to follow so many rules. I don't know why they would even buy in those places.
Well, I guess the thinking is we're going to move into a community because, let's say, somebody like me who's not too good with a hammer and a screwdriver, I don't have to worry about mowing my own lawn. I don't have to worry about painting the fence. I don't have to worry about the landscaping. And there's a community pool out there, there's community tennis courts, and we're all going to be living like one big happy family in this beautiful community.
Well,
that's the intent.
And the other thing is, more importantly, you might not have to worry about your neighbor getting 90 cats and stinking up the whole neighborhood or leaving cars on blocks in their yard or anything
right,
like that.
Exactly.
So, there's obviously...
The other nightmares that balances out anyway with all these other Nazi type of things that you have to do.
Well, let's not call it Nazi type. The Nazis were pretty bad. I don't think equating
right,
them to painting your door
really restrictions and everything else. You have no freedom to do anything.
Well, the fact of the matter is, everybody agrees into this. Nobody has a gun to their head when they have to buy a home or a condo. So if it's something that you want to be
right, but when they get into it, then they understand. Thank you so much. No,
thanks, Mike. Hey, bottom line is, you move into the community, there has to be some sort of rules that everybody has to abide by. No two ways about it.
Makes sense.
Let people paint their house whatever color they want. There has to be some minimums that people agree to abide by. Even the courts say you give up a little bit of your freedoms when you choose to move into a community where you're going to live with others. But moving on, next proposition in the letter, something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is education. And the letter continues and says, in condo associations, all board members must now become certified either by signing an affidavit that they read the statutes and governing documents or by attending a board certification course that is approved by the DBPR. As I indicated earlier, I was the first attorney in the state of Florida that designed a course that certifies condominium residents as eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board of directors. I've now certified over 1,300 Floridians. I can tell you that the course is appreciated by all who attend. They appreciate the opportunity to learn and simply can't believe that the course isn't mandatory for all board members. It makes no sense whatsoever that members of a condo board of directors must get certified, but members of an HOA board do not. Indeed, many participants at the seminar that I teach are residents of homeowner associations and who enjoy taking the course and would love a specific course designed for members of a homeowners association board. An educational requirement for all board members is simply a law that can only benefit all Florida community associations. Each director should have the opportunity to learn the statutes, the codes, and the importance of their governing documents. It can only result in greater harmony for all of Florida community associations.
You know, do we even really need to debate this? The course we teach and that others teach are absolutely free. If someone doesn't want to attend a three-hour course before being put into in charge of an HOA, then they probably don't deserve to be on the board in the first place. I mean, you know, a lot of work is usually – Eric, you just said a little earlier, some of these HOAs have seven-figure budgets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you think there's going to be more than a few hours of work being put in to manage that budget and administer the HOA?
It just makes no sense whatsoever that condo board members have to be certified and HOA board members don't. It isn't any less complicated to serve on an HOA board.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. Unfortunately, we only have about a minute to go in the show, so I guess we'll hit the last proposal next week. The last proposal basically deals with requiring mediation of disputes in the condominium setting, because HOAs, you're required to go to mediation first. But in condos, you can start your dispute either in arbitration or in court. And I think mediation is a great idea, but again, we'll touch on it more.
Wait. You're not asking to eliminate the vampire threat to HOAs in this legislation?
What's the vampire threat?
Well, I think we've been talking for weeks. You know, vampires are just all over the place now, and we need to get rid of them in HOAs and condos.
No, well, I think mediation is a wonderful thing. It should probably absolutely be required in condominiums along with HOAs. The HOA statute has it right. The idea is to save money for condominium associations.
Right.
But again, take a look at our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. We have the letter that we wrote to all the legislators. We have all of their names, all of their email addresses, all of their addresses. Urge them to vote in favor of these six proposals. Guys, start thinking of yourselves as a voting block. Everybody who lives in an association of Florida needs to start thinking as a voting block. Then you'll get things changed. Forget about the fact that you're Democrats, Republicans, Independents.
There's a lot of you out there.
So again, start thinking that way. Take a look. Let us know what you think. Send us your thoughts. And again, we'll see you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.